You can go into any bookstore, if you can find one these days, and find lots of books on the subject of success. Whether you're looking for financial success or marital success, career success, even spiritual success, there are plenty of authors out there that are willing to give you their keys for success at a price. I guess that's how they achieve success. Now, of course, not all the experts agree on what the keys to success are, but I came across a great quote recently. I don't know the key to success, but I do know the key to failure, and that's trying to please everybody. That is a surefire way to be a failure, trying to please everybody around you. And yet so many, including many Christians, are on this path of certain failure. They live their lives trying to please everyone around them and failing, all the while at the expense of finding any pleasure in life themselves and, most importantly, forfeiting the chance to please God. So as we continue our series of sharpening the skill of developing a thick skin, I want to focus our attention this morning on pushing past people-pleasing. Try and say that five times fast. We need to get beyond that struggle if we want to really see success in our lives. Now, some might consider people-pleasing just a poor choice or a personality weakness. I came across one author that had a little different view. He writes, "In the most general terms, the concept of codependency seems to best fall under the biblical category of idolatry. Looking to someone or something else to do for me the things that only God can do. In terms of a type of person characterized by this particular kind of behavior, people pleaser is the more specific diagnosis. The motive of such an individual is seen in John 12:43. He loved the approval of men rather than, or at least more than, the approval of God." People pleasing is a dangerous thing, especially for the Christian. Because when our goal becomes to please everybody around us, we will cease to please God. And that is our number one goal as a Christian. So how do I know if I have this problem? Let's take a look at the characteristics of people pleasing. See if any of these apply to you. First, people pleasers take criticism very seriously. Personally, if you find yourself nodding to that, come back in a couple of weeks because we're going to tackle that very situation in our next message in this series. Number two, people pleasers feel an extraordinary fear of rejection. It's almost overwhelming. You are so afraid that somebody or somebodies are going to reject you. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. You live in constant fear. Third, people pleasers find it hard to express their true feelings because they don't want to hurt anybody else. That's probably putting it too nicely. It's not that they don't want to hurt anybody else, they just don't want anybody else to be upset with them. And then lastly, people pleasers have a hard time saying no, even when they want to or even if they think they should. All right, now that we've all had our toes stepped on with one of those or more, these are just some of the characteristics of people pleasing. They fear rejection, so they're anxious not to do anything that could cause rejection by others. Any criticism, any even small, even what they think is criticism, is taken very personally. It cuts very deep. So they go to great lengths to avoid criticism of any kind. Again, they're afraid to express their true feelings because they don't want to be criticized. They don't want to be rejected. So they suppress their emotions, which is one of the worst things you can do in life. You bottle up your emotions and they don't go away, trust me. They just simmer and boil and fester, and they will blow up at some point, and it'll be at the worst possible time. You don't want to do that. You may have to at a moment. I get that. But at some point, you've got to have a release. You've got to be able to express those feelings, express those thoughts, share them openly with somebody you trust, because otherwise, it's going to do more damage than good. And they find it difficult to say no, which not only puts a strain on your schedule, but it can also cause repressed anger and bitterness for doing what they really don't want to do, or guilt for not doing what they shouldn't do. So there's a lot that goes into this idea of being a people pleaser. It is hazardous to your health, emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. Not the route you really want to go. I want to move on to what is the core of people pleasing. Why do people go this route? When we just explained how harmful it can be to oneself, why would anybody choose to go that way? People pleasing has been called by some the urge to merge. We all want to fit in. We all want to be accepted. We all want to be liked. And so we try to see how can we fit in. I don't want to necessarily stand out from the crowd. I want to fit in. I want to feel like I'm a part of the larger group. I want them to accept me for who I am. So we give up our own ideas and opinions. We give in to everybody else's. Instead of making decisions on our own, we take opinion polls and see what's the prevailing thoughts, and then we follow it. I know when politicians do that, we criticize them, but let's face it, a lot of us do it all the time. We may not take a Gallup poll, but we find out what people are thinking, and that's the way we want to go, because we don't want to make waves. We don't want anybody to be upset with us. We don't want anybody to reject us. Before long, we find it hard to be ourselves because we've become so used to conforming to fit the preferences and peculiarities of others, we're not even sure who we are anymore. I know it's been a long time ago, but some of you may remember a movie that featured Richard Gere and Julia Roberts, and it was not Pretty Woman. It was another one. I think it was called The Running Bride or something like that. But Julia Roberts' character in this movie was such a people pleaser and would just adapt with whoever she was with. There was a point in the movie where Richard Gere's character asked her, "What kind of eggs do you like?" And she didn't know. Because with whoever she had been with, however they ate their eggs, that's what she did. And that's kind of a silly excuse, but it gives you the idea of how someone can lose their own identity because they just fit in with whoever they're with. And it's very possible for a people pleaser to do that. You become a chameleon. You change your colors to fit into whatever situation you're in or whatever people you're around, to the point that you don't even know who you are anymore. You don't have an identity of your own. Why is that the case? Folks who suffer from this problem tend to have a low self-esteem, and they look for anything outside of themselves to make them feel better. So this goes right back to last week's message. How do I view myself? The first step in developing a thick skin is to have a healthy, biblical self-image. Who am I in Christ? And that's what that call to worship was all about. And I really loved how it illustrated the questions at the beginning. Am I what I've accomplished? Am I the good things that I've done? Or, on the flip side, is my identity defined by the bad things I've done? Who am I? And for the people pleaser, who I am depends on the people I'm trying to please at the moment. I'm trying to fit in. I'm trying to be liked. I'm trying to not make waves, not be criticized, not be rejected. But once we can establish who I am in Christ, when I have a strong, healthy, biblical, truthful estimate of myself, then I don't have to fit in to everybody else's idea of what I should be, or be labeled by what they say I am. So we need to have a good, healthy self-image. I really love how that call to worship ended. He says, when we see ourselves for who God says we are, it gives us the confidence to live life. That's true, and that's what we need. That's another name for a thick skin. You got to have confidence so that what others think and say doesn't throw you off. So we need to know who we are in Christ. As Chuck Swindoll puts it, a sure sign of personal insecurity is to wanting to be liked by everyone. When we don't feel good about ourselves, we try to feel good about ourselves by what other people say. And so we do and say things in order to get their approval and to get their praise. And we lose ourselves in the process. Now you might be thinking, what's wrong with wanting other people to like us? I mean, should we want everybody to hate us instead? No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not the point at all. And it is true, as Christians, we are made to be interdependent upon others. We're not made to be an island. We're not made to be isolated. We do interact with others. We do have relationships. God created us to be social beings that need one another. The problem, though, becomes when we start to think, I can't live without you or your acceptance or your approval. That becomes the problem. Because when that is the case for anybody on earth, or maybe it's a group that we're trying to fit in with, they become our God. That's why at the beginning of this message, the writer likened people pleasing to idolatry. Because now we're trying to please that one person or that group of people even more than we're trying to please God. We're trying to get from them a sense of identity, a sense of acceptance, a sense of confidence that should only come from God. That's why people-pleasing is so dangerous for the Christian, because it becomes idolatry. It's someone or some group that takes the place of God in our lives, and that's the definition of idolatry. There's two main problems with people-pleasing. The first is we can't do it. It's impossible. You just can't please everybody all the time. I'm not sure you can please anybody all the time. It's just an impossibility. Some of us try, and in the end, we run out of fuel. And I'll be honest with you, one group that tends to fall into this trap, maybe more than others, are ministers. You know? We want people to like us. We want people to come to our church. We want people to support us. And so it's very easy to tell people what they want to hear so they'll come back instead of risking the possibility that they might go elsewhere, especially when you can, throw a rock from any church and probably hit 5 or 6 others. There's plenty of places people can go, and it's very tempting at times to make that the goal. I want to be the most liked. We want to appeal to the most people. Well, how do you do that? Tell them what they want to hear. And that's not what ministers of the gospel are called to do. In fact, oftentimes what we have to say is not what people want to hear. Not even Jesus tried to make everybody happy. He told the truth, let the chips fall where they may. Now, it's true, as ministers, we're accountable to the churches we serve, but our ultimate accountability is to God. And without that single-minded devotion to the Lord, we run the risk of becoming people pleasers. Christian leaders can then become pawns as they focus on pleasing other people. And really, they become pathetic wimps. And I think anybody that's been in ministry or in leadership of any kind, you've at least been tempted if you haven't gone down that slippery slope. We want to be liked. We want to please others. Rather than being a warrior for the king, it's easy to become insecure, relying on human opinions, longing for human approval. But the responsibility of a minister, and secondarily the responsibility of every Christian, is to deliver what people need, not necessarily what they want. And I've said this many times. When I preach a sermon, it gets preached to me first. That truth hits me before I ever present it to you. But that's the way that it should be. We need to be delivered from the bondage of people-pleasing in ministry, but it's true for all of us in life. Beyond the fact that we can't please everyone is the fact that we shouldn't even try to please everyone. Making everyone happy is not only impossible, it's unscriptural. Paul writes in Galatians 1:10, the passage that Bob read for us earlier, "Am I now trying to win the approval of others or of God? Am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I could not be a servant of Christ." Kind of laying it on the line there. You got a choice. You can strive to please others. You can strive to please the Lord. You're not going to do both. He goes on to write in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 4 and 6, "On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We are not looking for praise from men, not from you or anybody else." That was written by a man who knew who he was. That was written by a man who really couldn't care less what other people thought of him. The only thing that mattered to Paul is what his Lord thought of him. Am I pleasing my commanding officer? That's all that mattered to Paul. And it should be all that matters to us. People pleasers become dependent upon the approval of others for their own sense of self-worth. But it's a misplaced dependency. And when we have a misplaced dependency, we have a misplaced trust. We are excessively trusting in a relationship to provide more than what God intended. And I might add, what only God truly can provide. So how then do we conquer this propensity for people-pleasing? And I think the key lies in understanding that we all have fundamental needs. There are fundamental needs that every one of us has as human beings. Now, for each people, the intensity of these, you know, the list may be a little bit different, but they all include the same elements. And if I can boil them down to two, there's two things that we need as people. We need a sense of significance. We need to know that we matter. We need to know that our lives mean something. And we have the need for security. The need to know that no matter what happens, I am secure. Those are the two basic fundamental needs that every human being has. God created us that way. And He also created us in such a way that only He provides that security and that significance in a complete way. So those are our fundamental needs. And if we feel worthless, if we feel insecure, it becomes our top priority to protect ourselves from those feelings and do whatever we can to alleviate those feelings of worthlessness and insecurity. Now, the Bible makes it very plain in Philippians 4:19, God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I know most of the time when we quote that verse, we're thinking financial, right? And to be fair, that's what Paul was talking about at this point in the letter to Philippians. But look at that. He says God will meet all your needs, even the need to feel significant and the need to feel secure. He will supply all your needs. He'll meet them. But outside of a personal relationship from God, we will look for other people or other things to meet those needs. And one of those popular alternatives is try to make everybody happy. Because we can feel secure in their acceptance of us and significant in their approval of us. But that's when we get ourselves into trouble. Paul writes elsewhere in that same letter, in Philippians 1, verses 27 to 30, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come or see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, experiencing the same conflict that you saw in me and now hear to be in me." What stands out here in this passage is Paul's reminder that others are not responsible for our happiness. We are. When we make other people responsible for our self-image, how we feel about ourselves, we become their slaves. But when we can find that in God, it is something that will be secure. Paul writes in that passage, "Whether I come and see you or remain silent, you should still be doing the right thing. Don't do it just because I'm there. Don't do it just because I'm watching. You do it because it's right. Do it because it's the right thing to do." So many live their lives dependent on others. And such clinging vines draw most, if not all, of their energy from another. Not only is that not healthy for the clinger, it's not good for the clingy either. It doesn't work out for either one. Paul would have none of that, neither should we. Maturity is accelerated as we stand firm on our own. Now, there may be occasions where others play helpful roles during needy episodes in our lives, but those should be the exception, not the rule. You'll find that people pleasers are not joyful in themselves. Because joy exists regardless of the circumstances, but people pleasers go up and down based on the approval of others. Something completely out of their control. Now, I know somebody might object. Now, wait a minute, Paul. What about what you wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:31 to 33? And he writes these words, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved." Right there you say it. I try to please everybody in every way. Aren't you just going against what you've been writing elsewhere? Aren't you being a people pleaser, Paul? No, that's not what he's saying. He's not suggesting that he was a compromiser or that he was a man pleaser. He was affirming that his life and ministry were centered on helping others rather than promoting himself and his own ideas. It was a sign of his selflessness, not a sign that he was a people pleaser. He was concerned that his conduct didn't stand in the way of other people coming to Christ. But it is wrong to try to please others just to curry favor with them or to avoid conflict or persecution. And his conviction on that never changed. It represented an approach to ministry that has great integrity and is needed in the church today. For somebody to try to please everybody in the issues that confront churches, it's cowardice. It's not standing on truth. It's not telling the truth. Our primary focus should not be on pleasing people, but on pleasing God. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, "We instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are now living. Now we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Rather than being a people pleaser, we need to be a God pleaser." Now that brings up an important point. You know, we might hear this sermon and say, "Wow, I don't have to worry about pleasing people. I can be as obnoxious as I want to be." That's not what Paul's saying either. Paul did whatever he could to make Christianity attractive to outsiders, short of compromising the message of Christ. Here's the good news, though. Ultimately, our needs of security and significance are filled by God and God alone. His unconditional love brings security like no other. Consider what he says in Isaiah 49:15. "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, though I will not forget you." As mind-blowing as it is, when you run across these instances of mothers who neglect their children or abuse their children or even kill their children, God says, even if a mother rejects a child, I won't reject you. That's pretty secure, knowing that God will always accept us. Psalm 27, verse 10 says, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." The people who are the closest to us on this earth, our parents, even if they leave us, even if they reject us, the Lord will receive me. I can stand on that. And what about significance? How could we be any more significant than to know that the Creator of the universe has a plan for my life and that I can be a part of that purpose? Jeremiah 29:11 records, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That is Almighty God. That is the one who created everything and created you. He's saying, I got a plan for you. You matter. You are significant because I want to use you. You're a part of my plan. That's purpose. Much more so than anything anybody on earth could give us. And the great thing about this is nothing can affect or change the significance and security that God provides for us. Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced," there's that confidence, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing. Nothing can affect our significance to God. Nothing can affect our security with God. So we don't need to find it anywhere else. And when we don't need to find our security and our significance in other people, what they think and say about us isn't going to be so devastating. And isn't that what having a thick skin is all about? Getting to the point that when people criticize us, when people condemn us, when people ridicule us, it just bounces off. Why? Because it doesn't matter what you think. I know what God thinks. And that doesn't change. That's a great way to be able to live life. When God created us, he planned for us to enter into a trusting relationship with him. Because he is so trustworthy, we can totally depend on him to meet all of our needs. He designed us to live in dependence on him, not on anyone else, to complete us, to fulfill us. We don't need to look to anything or anyone else to meet those needs. And when we can push past people pleasing in our lives, we can develop that thicker skin that's going to help us get through life. And we won't be so tempted to give in to the approval of others. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of your word, the confidence we can have in knowing you and knowing that you love us. You have a purpose and a plan for us. That makes us significant. That makes us secure. That gives us an identity as your child that nobody on earth can touch. Nothing can happen to us to diminish that truth of our lives. That you have adopted us into your family, and as we follow Christ, that's all the identity we need. Help us to avoid the temptation of people-pleasing. May we say with Paul, so we make it our goal to please you in all that we say and do, knowing that your love, your acceptance, and your purpose will not fail. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who made it all possible. Amen.